Hello and welcome to the show. I'm back. Great to be here with you. I'm Gary Zimak, and it really is so good to be back here on Blog Talk Radio. It's been a long time since I've done this, and this is the new and improved, and you're going to see how that plays out, Gary Zimak Show. And I want to thank you for the many comments about the program. You said you missed it. Well, guess what? I missed doing it as well. And we're going to try this every day, every Monday through Friday for 30 minutes each night, with a slightly different format, and that's what you're going to see the debut of today. We'll look at the daily mass readings, and this is something I've missed doing on my show, my daily Philadelphia morning show, Spirit in the Morning. I read the gospel every day. Well, today and each day on this podcast, we'll look at the mass readings, the first reading, the psalm, and the gospel, and I'll talk a little bit about the readings. We'll also feature a guest segment. And today we're going to be joined by Andy Otto. I recently did an interview with Andy on Spirit in the Morning. We're going to be playing that for you. It's all about the Ignatian principles, and I'm a big believer in St. Ignatius of Loyola, on how you can find God in your day-to-day activity. So Andy's going to be joining us in that pre-recorded segment. We'll also, on this program, feature segments from Tony Rossi and the Christophers. They are a big part of my morning show. Their message is so, so powerful that it's better to light a single candle than to curse the darkness. And that's what I always tell you. It's better to do what we can instead of pointing fingers about everybody else who's doing something wrong. And we'll also have a segment from Carlo Broussard of Catholic Answers, who is going to be a regular part of the show as well. So this is what you can expect. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to start with prayer, and then we'll take a brief break and come back to look at the daily mass readings. But again, I want to really thank you for joining me for this reincarnation of my podcast. Thank you for all the comments. Please continue to help me spread the word so we can get the good news out to as many people as possible. Let's begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us this new day. Father, thank you for the many blessings that you have given to us throughout our lives. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the gift of the Catholic Church. Father, we ask you to strengthen us so that we could be a light shining in the darkness. I ask you, Father, to speak through me on this podcast. Please open our minds and our hearts to hear the message that you have for us. We lift up all of our priests, our religious, our deacons. We pray for an increase in vocations. We pray for an end to abortion. Father, we lift up those who are suffering from religious persecution. We lift up those who are sick, those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who may be struggling with doubt or despair. We lift up those who no longer believe in you. Please reach out to them, touch their hearts, so that they may turn back to you and again walk with you each day. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, sit tight. We're going to take a quick break and then be back to take a look at the daily mass readings. Stay tuned, and again, thank you for tuning in to this new version of the Gary Zimak Show. We'll be right back.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Like a lot of New Yorkers who ride the subway, Kay Brown doesn't interact much with fellow passengers, preferring to keep focused on her phone. But when a beggar entered her subway car one winter's day, Kay noticed the woman's bare feet. She told the Daily News her toes were crossed over each other and freezing. Kay asked the woman what her shoe size was, and she responded 7. That was also Kay's shoe size, so she took off her ankle boots right then and there and handed them over. The woman started crying as she put on the boots, and she hugged Kay before moving on, expressing sincere gratitude. When Kay shared her story on Facebook, other people felt inspired to do good deeds themselves, thereby creating a ripple effect of kindness. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Thank you, Tony Rossi, and welcome back to the program. I'm Gary Zimak, and we are back on Blog Talk Radio after quite an absence. I'm really grateful to be here. Thank you for your comments. If you have any questions, feel free to email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. And just while you're at it, for any information you want to find out about my work, visit followingthetruth.com. Okay, yesterday was Pentecost Sunday, a big day in the church. It's really the birthday of the church, the point where the Holy Spirit descended upon the whole church. And it's really an important solemnity for all of us, because that Holy Spirit works in each of us as members of the church as well. So when you're getting an idea to do one thing or another, maybe I should volunteer more at church, maybe I should be nice to this person, maybe I should pray more, whatever it is, don't rule out the fact that that could be the Holy Spirit working on you. So we have to learn to be receptive to the Holy Spirit and be very aware of what he might be saying to us, so that we can go out and literally change the world by our actions, right? So many times we forget that we really can change the world by our actions. So with that in mind, let's look at the Mass readings for today, Monday of the ninth week in Ordinary Time. Yes, we are back in Ordinary Time. The Easter season has now concluded with Pentecost, and we are back in Ordinary Time. And today, our first reading is from the book of Tobit, beginning in chapter 1 of Tobit. Verse 3, I, Tobit, have walked all the days of my life on the paths of truth and righteousness. I performed many charitable works for my kinsmen and my people who had been deported with me to Nineveh in Assyria. On our festival of Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, a fine dinner was prepared for me, and I reclined to eat. The table was set for me, and when many different dishes were placed before me, I said to my son Tobiah, my son, go out and try to find a poor man from among our kinsmen, exiled here in Nineveh. If he is a sincere worshiper of God, bring him back with you, so that he can share this meal with me. Indeed, son, I shall wait for you to come back. Tobiah went out to look for some poor kinsmen of ours. When he returned, he exclaimed, Father, I said to him, what is it, son? He answered, Father, one of our people has been murdered. His body lies in the marketplace where he was just strangled. I sprang to my feet, leaving the dinner untouched, and I carried the dead man from the street and put him in one of the rooms, so that I might bury him after sunset. Returning to my own quarters, I washed myself and ate my food in sorrow. I was reminded of the oracle pronounced by the prophet Amos against Bethel. All your festivals shall be turned into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation. And I wept. Then at sunset I went out, dug a grave, and buried him. The neighbors mocked me, saying to one another, he is still not afraid. Once before he was hunted down for execution because of this very thing, yet now that he has escaped scarcely, here he is again, burying the dead. Boy, this is a message for all of us. Sometimes, and Tobit here is a good example, sometimes doing the right thing is not easy. We're going to be met with challenges, with persecution, with, it doesn't always have to be physical persecution, but certainly there's going to be verbal persecution when we go out and try to spread the good news. People are going to reject our message. They're going to criticize us. They're going to laugh at us, whatever. But here we see Tobit doing the right thing despite the potential challenges, and in his case, the challenge of real physical violent persecution. I think that's the message for each of us today. Are we willing to go out and spread the good news, to do the right thing, to do the spiritual, the corporal works of mercy, even if we're going to be faced with challenges? Let's pray that we're able to do that. Now let's continue on with these readings. I'll try to tie them in all up together at the end. The responsorial psalm is Psalm 112, Blessed the man who fears the Lord. Blessed the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commands. His posterity, shall be mighty upon the earth. The upright generation shall be blessed. His generosity shall endure forever. Light shines through the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and merciful and just. Well for the man who is gracious and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. He shall never be moved. The just man shall be in everlasting remembrance. Blessed the man who fears the Lord. A reminder, for all of us that there are going to be challenges. Look, there are times when My pride gets the best of me. My selfishness gets the best of me. I don't want to go out and reach out to somebody else because I've got my own issues. Somebody might annoy me. They might have a personality that conflicts with my personality. There's so many reasons why for me not to go out and act as Jesus did, right? Because I feel that every day in one way or another. The challenge for us is to follow the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit knows the right thing to do. The Holy Spirit, if we let Him work through our lives, is always going to do the right thing. But do we always respond and yield to the Holy Spirit? No, I know I don't. So we can pray. What can we do? You know, it's rather than become discouraged, rather than let it defeat us, what can we do? Well, we can pray for the grace to become docile to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Lord, please help me to follow your Spirit. And to be honest with you, there are some things that I'm feeling right now that I know are not from the Holy Spirit. There are certain things right now I'm a little tense about. I feel like I don't want to do things that I know I should do. And I'm sure you're in the same situation, maybe not at the moment, but I'm sure you can relate, or you will be able to relate to this at some point. But let's pray. Especially after Pentecost Sunday yesterday, let's pray for the grace to be able to follow the Holy Spirit. He will not force you to do anything. That's what we need to remember. He's not going to force you to do anything. You need to say, yes, Holy Spirit, I will follow you. Let's pray for the grace to be able to do that. Let's take a look now at the gospel. It comes from Mark chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. Jesus began to speak to the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders in parables. A man planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenant farmers and left on a journey. At the proper time, he sent a servant to the tenants to obtain from them some of the produce of the vineyard. But they seized him, beat him, and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent them another servant. And that one they beat over the head and treated shamefully. He sent yet another whom they killed. So too many others, some they beat, others they killed. He had one other to send, a beloved son. He sent him to them last of all, thinking, they will respect my son. But those tenants said to one another, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. So they seized him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owners of the vineyard do? He will come, put the tenants to death, and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read this scripture passage? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes. They were seeking to arrest him, but they feared the crowd, for they realized that he had addressed this parable to them. So they left him and went away. Boy, this is, when we look at the ministry of Jesus Christ, when we look at his public ministry, we see the many times he faced opposition. People were out to kill him. They were out to destroy him in one way or another. This is a reminder for us, those who try to do the work of Christ, that we're going to get the same rejection. We're going to get the same persecution. We're going to get the same opposition that Jesus did. But look, let's face it. Most of us, I can't say for sure, but most of us are not going to end up being crucified and murdered on a cross. So Jesus gives us this example of what it means to do the Father's will at all times. And that means doing it when it's unpleasant, when it's uneasy, when you are met with resistance. You do the right thing no matter what. Now, by ourselves, we can't do this. We're too weak to do this. And Jesus knew this. That's why he sent his Holy Spirit. Again, I said this at the start of these readings. The Holy Spirit knows the right thing to do. The Holy Spirit will not give in to the pressure, the peer pressure, the opposition, whatever it is that you will encounter. So let's pray to the Holy Spirit to ask for the grace to be able to follow God's will at all times, even when the going gets tough. It's challenging, but remember, be confident, be uplifted, because you have that Spirit. You have that Spirit to lead you and to guide you and to help you. So we're going to take a break now. They were the Mass readings for today. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Andy Otto in a pre-recorded interview to talk about how to use the principles of St. Ignatius in day-to-day living. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Many atheists assert the only real form of knowledge is scientific knowledge, thus excluding any sort of religious knowledge, whether philosophical or theological. Such a belief is called scientism, and it's unreasonable for two reasons. First, it's self-refuting. Its truth cannot be verified by the scientific method. It's a metaphysical proposition, and as such, is not scientific knowledge. But if science can't verify the truth of scientism, well then, scientism itself cannot be a legitimate form of knowledge, in which case, it's self-refuting. Moreover, scientism undermines science as a rational form of inquiry, because it denies presupposed philosophical assumptions that are necessary to even do science, such as, there's an external world outside the minds of scientists. So, to reject God's existence on the grounds that it's not scientific knowledge is simply unreasonable. I'm Carlo Broussard with The Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Andy Otto has written a book called God Moments, Unexpected Encounters in the Ordinary. Andy is a Catholic writer, he's a speaker, he's a spiritual director, and he's a podcaster who teaches theology and is the campus minister at Mercy High School in Red Bluff, California. Andy has been kind enough to agree to come on the show, to wake up at a very early hour to join us. Good morning, Andy. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, Gary. I'm well.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. I know this is a sacrifice for you to get up this early.
It's worth it.
Thank you. Andy, I love the book, God Moments, Unexpected Encounters in the Ordinary. Brother, this is one of the things that I struggle with, and I think many people struggle with. How do we encounter God in the ordinary, in the ordinary messiness of daily life? How do we do that?
You know, that's the same thing I sort of struggled with. And, wow. You know, in Romans, St. Paul said that we can encounter God in the things that we perceive. So for Ignatian spirituality, which is the foundation of my book, it starts with just the awareness of our everyday experiences, what we feel and perceive in the world, in our relationships, in our workplaces and families, and then we can just see that sort of the incarnate God in all of those things and people.
Andy, I have to share this with you. I was reading the book, and in your introduction, you say this: as you opened this book or turned the page, did you notice the miracle of your fingers and the tiny muscle movements that made it happen? God has given all of this to you. I read that, and it blew me away. And in fact, as I was driving to this studio this morning, praying my rosary, I thought about that. And I thought about the fact that there's a miracle taking place, that my body is somehow able to drive this car, and I'll be able to finger the beads of the rosary. We take so many of these ordinary miracles for granted, don't we?
We do, and we tend not to notice them. And, you know, I have a 5-month-old daughter, and so as I've been watching her grow, I've been keenly reminded of how we often miss those ordinary miracles. Mm. We notice, you know, we're very much aware of the miracle of babies, and and we can easily see God in babies. But then as we get older, you know, we lose the wonder that children have. We kind of forget those ordinary miracles, like you said, that happen every day when we're driving to work.
And it's great to become aware of that. And I think that begins to help us to appreciate the fact that God is present in the present moment. And when we do that, we begin to feel his peace. And you mentioned in the book, you cannot go up to heaven to encounter God. I have to locate God within the boundaries of the created world that I'm in. I highly recommend this book to anybody who wants to learn more about how to do this. But in a nutshell, how do I do that? How do I find God as I'm driving on the highway, as I'm encountering traffic, as I'm taking my car in for service, as I'm having a stomach ache? I mean, how do I encounter God there? What's a rule of thumb?
What I like to remind myself of is that God is constantly reaching out to us. Mm-hmm. It's easy for us to just sort of sit passively and, not seek out God. But God is seeking us out. So it's a continuous invitation. So if you're driving along and you see a beautiful sunrise, that's God sort of tapping you on the shoulder and saying, look, I'm here. Or even if you get angry at someone who cuts you off in traffic, that's God, again, tapping you on the shoulder and saying, hey, I'm here with you in this moment. You know, we'll get through this.
Right, right, right.
And so, and you know, and I think it kind of takes a habit of just sort of opening our eyes and paying attention to these little graced moments where God is perhaps calling us deeper into a relationship, or to perhaps reflect on how we are responding to God's gift in the world.
And you do such a good job in reminding of this, of us, of this fact in your book, God Moments, Unexpected Encounters in the Ordinary. You also talk about prayer in the book. And one of the things I think many people struggle with is the idea of, this is the way I should pray. I need to pray this way. I'm not feeling anything when I'm praying this way, but I need to do it this way. What would you say if we're struggling in our prayer life and God seems distant? Is it time to change things up a little bit?
St. Ignatius, who founded the Jesuits, he said, you know, we need to use a prayer form that works for us. Mm. And if something doesn't work, we should try something different. You know, we can't do anything to earn God's love. We have that as free gift. And so there's nothing we can do to make God love us. So prayer, again, is it's an invitation to be in relationship. And there are an infinite number of ways you can pray. You can. I say to my students, prayer should be easy because God doesn't want, you know, God isn't trying to complicate our relationship. Prayer should be easy. We can just talk to Jesus as we do to a friend.
Wow, that's such a basic point, but it's one that easily gets overlooked. I know I'm not alone in this, but sometimes I'll have a particular need and I'll be praying and I'll think, well, I need to keep asking. I need to keep saying, I need to do more. You know, and sometimes we get caught up in the volume of words as opposed to really meaning it from the heart.
And, you know, God knows that meaning even before we speak it, right?
Right.
Right,
so that's you make some great points about prayer in the book. You also touch on discernment, which I know is a big part of the spirituality of St. Ignatius. Briefly, if somebody, and again, the book goes into a lot more detail, you talk about how you can discern a particular situation. What if I'm trying to discern God's will for my life? What's a good first step?
Well, you know, we often act as if, you know, God is going to sort of come out of the sky and say, here's what I want you to do.
I wish he would. It would make it easier. Right?
It would be easy, right? But discernment is about collaborating with God in this great project for the world. So, you know, I think the first step is, you know, whatever choices or decisions we have before us, we have to acknowledge them as gift, make sure that they're good choices before us, acknowledge what are our gifts and talents that we can bring to those particular choices. Because God is only going to call us to something that we actually have the ability or the talent or the gift to be able to do. And again, to see it as an invitation to work with God, to partner with God in this world, not just to blindly obey. Again, it's relationship. It's a relationship based in love. And I think discernment is a beautiful process. I often most feel the presence of God when I'm in the midst of trying to make a decision. It can feel messy,
right,
but it's I can feel there's something happening. That's the hand of God for me.
And feelings do play a role in discernment, don't they? Sometimes we tend to think, well, if I'm enjoying this too much or if I want to do this particular thing, maybe that's all about me. Maybe it's not what I should be doing. And then we can get caught up into that whole game of saying, well, if I'm doing God's will, it must mean that I have to suffer. But that's not true, is it? Feelings and good, positive feelings and wanting to do something, it often indicates that God is calling us to do that thing.
Indeed. I think we can, sometimes in our religious tradition, we can get a little obsessed with suffering.
Yeah.
You know, that's necessary sometimes, but there's nothing wrong with enjoyment. You know, God gives us gift and puts us in this world to enjoy what we have and to cherish the gift. And so to be able to see those things, to pay attention to your feelings and emotions, St. Ignatius said those are ways God can communicate with us directly.
Mm-hmm.
We have to pay attention. Those are sort of part of the process, part of the relationship.
The book, again, is God Moments, Unexpected Encounters in the Ordinary from Ave Maria Press by Andy Otto. I highly recommend this book. If you want to encounter the Lord in your day-to-day life. I highly recommend it. We will have it linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Andy, is there a place where we can follow you online or, you know, let us know where the best place to purchase the book might be?
Yeah, I blog and podcast at godinallthings.com. If you want to learn more about Ignatian spirituality, that's a great place to go.
Okay.
And there's a link as well to the book.
Excellent. Andy, thank you so much for waking up early to join us on Spirit in the Morning.
Thanks, Gary. I appreciate it.
All right. God bless you, my friend. God Moments, Unexpected Encounters in the Ordinary by Andy Otto. Great book, and I highly recommend it. Well, we made it through the first program. It's been a long time. It's great to be back with you. Please remember to visit my website, followingthetruth.com. And if there's any questions that you have, any comments about the podcast, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. As I mentioned, we're going to try to do this every day, 30 minutes each night. You can listen, of course, on Blog Talk Radio. It'll also be available on iTunes and on TuneIn Radio. In the past, it was one day delayed. We're going to see how that happens. I'm not really sure how it's happening these days. It's been a few months since I've done this, but it's really out of my control. It's however Blog Talk Radio ships it off to iTunes and TuneIn Radio. So it might be an issue. It might not be an issue. Let me know if you have any questions. And I want to thank you for sticking with me. I want to thank you for your patience. Just know that you are in my prayers, and we're going to continue to do this. We'll have one guest each day, and in addition, we will look at the daily mass reading. So thank you again for listening to episode one of the return of the Gary Zimak Show. God willing, I'll be back tomorrow. Remember that you're in my prayers, and wherever you go, whatever you do, remember the Lord is with you. So turn around and say hi. We'll talk to you next time. The Gary Zimak Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.